Fyodor Dostoevsky, in his great novel, The Brothers Karamazov, tells the story of the Grand Inquisitor, set in the 16th century. In this story, Jesus appears on earth, and the Grand Inquisitor of the church has him placed in prison, and then comes to him and berates the Christ for not having accepted the generous offers made to him by the tempter in the wilderness. Deeply impressed by that story, Carlisle Marney, while in Austin, Texas, preached a trilogy of sermons on the temptation. This morning I would like to read from the second of those sermons. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle in the temple, and said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down. Jesus, the water of his baptism still clinging, sacred blessing words still whispering, burden of his messiahship pressing, went apart to the valley of decision to make certain and final choice of the way. And after 40 days, then the wise and dread spirit met him in the wilderness, and we are told he tempted him. In the three great scenes, he tempted him to do what man demanded of Messiah. First, turn these stones to bread, and you will avail yourself of an invincible banner, the quickest way to the conscience of man, the most certain religious appeal. Jesus answered, Man is freeborn. I will not buy him with the bread of belly hunger. And Satan fell back, rebuffed. But as usual, Satan returned with a new proposition, at once more subtle and more appealing. To Jerusalem, up Mount Moriah, into the temple, up, 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 past all levels, up, up, until high up on a minaret, clean mountain wind singing, pigeons fluttering away to make him room. He comes at last to the cornice, out, out, far down, 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 far below. He sees a swarm of bugs, tiny people far below, climbing the hill in swarms to look for God in the temple. Satan speaks high on the minaret. In the wilderness, Messiah, I did an awful thing. I misjudged thee and offered an easy answer. Too cheap, too obvious, for there are many breadwinners. But now thou art determined to move out into this world and demonstrate your messiahship. Thou hast said to me, I will not violate man's freedom. That is good. Yet without the earthly bread you might have used, how difficult for man to choose thee. Canst thou not make his choice an easier one? Dost thou not owe him the easier choice for his own sake and thine? See those thousands of seeking souls. Knowest thou their lostness and waste, their hunger and need? Canst feel thou their crippled joints and stumbling agonies? Dost thou not know their search, how deceived and disappointed, how eager their hearts, their hopes? Hast thou no full heart of compassion to meet their need? Thou hast compassion. I know thou hast compassion. I see thy tears for them. Then on the wings of thy strong compassion, cast thyself down to them. Cast thyself down to them. Hear their faint cry. Cast thyself down. Go down, Messiah. Way down to Egypt land, let my people go. Go down to them in one grand, undeniable, compelling demonstration. Hast thou faith, Messiah? I know thou hast faith. If thou really art Son of God, cast thyself down. Throw thyself out on his arms. He said he would bear thee up. God thy Father expects it of thee. Thou hast compassion. Thou hast faith. Cast thyself down. And in one mighty, compassionate act of faith, that God said he would back up, men will be compelled to follow thee. Aye, and I'll follow thee myself if thou canst do it and not die. No one has ever intimated that Satan, the adversary, is a moron. Master wit, he. Satan was asking Jesus to give mankind a heavenly sign. Moses had his serpent stick, his burning bush, his pillar of fire and cloud, his tablets. Father Abraham had his ram caught in the bush. Joshua had dividing waters of Jordan, and Gideon had his fleece. For Elijah there was rain and angels and earthquakes, still small voices and a chariot of heavenly fire. For even the lesser light, Elisha, there was an axe to float and some bears. Give mankind the heavenly sign he craves, Messiah. If thou dost not, many will come to give the sign. They will rob thee of thy heritage, Messiah, for the sign is thine to give. Cast thyself down. If thou do it not, see many to give the sign. Hear those marching feet, those rattling arms. See that cordon of sergeants surrounding that banner. That is Constantine, and his banner says, in this sign conquer. He is marching from Mulvian Bridge to rule the world, Messiah, the bastard son of a Gothic barmaid and a Caesar. But he knows the power of a heavenly sign. Hear him march. Why wilt not thou give the sign, Messiah? Cast thyself down and save mankind. Give the heavenly sign. Thou wilt not? Then hear again, O Christ. Cast thyself down from this height. Compel men to surrender, and you will give mankind the thing he cannot live without, the one indispensable, a God he can see. Thou hast cited Moses. Wouldst thou tell me Moses rebuked Aaron before the people for giving them a God they could see? Did Moses turn pale at the blasphemy of a God men could see? Did weak Aaron's bawling voice, these be thy gods, O Israel, and the stench of sand-cast golden calves unite to bring Moses in fury up from the mountaintop? Then let me tell thee that Moses, too, in secret, prayed for a God he could see. Not even a burning bush and a voice in the mountains filled him. Hast thou not read in the book that alone on the mountainside Moses cried to see him? I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Thou hast there all precedent. Cast thyself down and show men their God. For there on the mountainside, did not the one you call Father graciously hide his servant Moses in a cleft of the rock while his glory passed by? Thou wilt not? Then I tell thee, thou hast no choice. For if men cannot see him, they will make themselves a God to see. Or worse, they will even deify themselves and worship their own parts. Thou wilt not? Hear the hammers, see the glow and the sparks. Godsmiths are at work making gods. Hear the wild cries, see the shed blood. God-kneaders are at their worship. Smell that bull blood, they are baptizing. Feel that deep shudder, they are eating dead bodies. Hear those high cries, they burn little fellows, or drown them, or strangle them in holy furnaces and holy rivers and in sacred groves. Thou wilt not? Then I tell thee, thou art a fool. For men will see their gods. They will place them on top of every hill. They will ensconce them in wayside shrines. They will carve them, cast them, draw them, build them, glaze them, paint them, and failing in that, dream them. I tell thee, they will cover the earth with them until I, Satanas, will give the order in their chaos by housing all their gods under one roof, if thou wilt not. If not even Moses was beyond it, how canst thou expect this rabble to be above it? Show men thy glory. The Father did. Cast thyself down. Thou wilt not? Then I say, thou hast no compassion. Thou wilt not? Then dost thou release me to make their gods. Aye, and I will teach them well. With snakes, lice, toads, and lizards, I will instruct them. With trees, hills, beasts, and birds, I will inspire them. I will teach them well with whips, with goads, with knives, and every torture. With fire and pain, with cruelty and awful agonies, I will sacrifice them. I will meet their need. I will show them their God, my God, me, Satanas, until at last they will know how to worship me in themselves, in their racial pens, in their national hutches, in their hives of stone and steel, their patterns of hate and war, in their everyday jobs and luxuries, in their money, their sex orgies, their vaunted civilization, their schools and governments, their creeds and dogmas. They will learn to worship. They will see their God, and they will call him good, not knowing he is me, Satanas. Thou wilt not, then will I. Still thou wilt not, will thou not? Dost not thy heart tell thee I can make it a thing impossible for them to find him? Then will I relieve them of their dreaded freedom and their awful responsibility. I, Satan, will help them. Even then the dread spirit knew mankind demanded and would build a religion that would satisfy his craving for mystery, miracle, and authority. Even then he could see the arising of a super institution of religion that would answer man's mass craving for relief from his freedom and his responsibility. Such a power and a comfort it would be, bringing all mankind's desires and appetite under one roof, freeing him from freedom and responsibleness. It would have great strength, great patience, strong demands, time to wait. And have the centuries not demonstrated that it is so? Man craves mystery, miracle, authority. He renounces freedom. He despises responsibility. Satan foreknew it. Mankind has followed the pattern he saw. For in religion man will seek a heavenly sign, a God he can see, and freedom from choice. Wilt thou not cast thyself down? But Jesus refused Satan. Those who crave external authority follow Satan and man and refuse Jesus. For he had another answer. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. His action of refusal is as powerful as his words. Taken together, they say, God cannot be put on the spot. Not even sovereign son can presume on sovereign God. Man must not attempt to lure God from his frame, his path, his direction. Do not try to change the pattern. You can't presume on God. God will not change his nature to meet man's craving for the lesser. The lower cravings would have made God to be mammon. But most clearly, the answer Jesus gave to Satan on the rooftop is the answer of refusal. Refusal to compel through undeniable miracle, to deny universal law, to step out of his human nature, to pull his rank on lost mankind, to make man less than he was born to be. The refusal says, man is sovereign. Man being sovereign is able. The individual human soul is competent and responsible. He deals with God and chooses his master for himself. All the response man needs to make takes its rise in man's godhood. He has made in God's image, able to respond. Man being able to choose must choose. Respecting us less, he would have required less of us than the choice. The very freedom contains the necessity of the choice, for wrapped up in the freedom is belief or denial, or eternal wandering, doubt. Thou didst desire man's free love, that he should follow thee freely, enticed and taken captive by thee. In place of the rigid ancient law, man must hereafter with free heart decide for himself, having only thy image before him as his guide. God will not batter us into his kingdom. To do so would destroy all that makes us worth saving. Listen, Satan. Let him answer thee 3 months later from his death cross. That coming cross cast a shadow over everything he said or did. No answer to Satan can be complete apart from it. No word of his to the world has its meaning full apart from it. Listen, adversary, these are dying words and terribly, terribly vital. Thou hast inquired of my compassion, Satanas. Here on this spread wood is my compassion, spattering there under my hands, clinging in scarlet rivers along my arms, congealing in dark puddles at my feet. Here is my compassion. Here in this gaunt carcass, spread out for birds and jackals, suspended to unite heaven and earth, lifted up to all the world, here is my compassion. Here in torn tendons, twisted sockets, gaping mouth, here in these droplets of sweat, these dying cries, here is pure compassion. Thou didst mention a heavenly sign, Satanas. None knowest that craving in men's hearts better than I, adversary. Didst thou think that the sign from the rooftop enough? Thou didst know it not enough. Then didst thou think thou couldst deceive me into thinking it enough? Thou couldst not. I could not come down from that rooftop at thy summons any more than I can now come down from this cross at thy summons. A heavenly sign? Here is their heavenly sign. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted. And I, if indeed I be lifted up from the earth, will go on drawing all men unto me. When your Caesars and Kaisers are done with their signs, when the banners of your Constantines and Charlemagnes are dust, when English mud is dried forever along with Norman dreams, when the horses of the Huns and the rumbling tanks of the Rus make the same amount of silence, when Halley's comet and rings around the moon and stars in the heavens no longer speak their message, still will my sign stand, Satanas. Thou didst speak of a God man can see, Satanas. Look at me now. Canst thou see God? Thou canst not? Then thou art adversary indeed. For here he is, saying in this writhing body, whatever they suffer, I suffer too. Whatever they need, I will supply. Singing through these vibrating strings of suspended agony, the song of God's eternal participation in their suffering that comes from themselves and from thee. Calling across the chasm dug by their bitter discontent to say, by whatever rule the game is played, by whatever law there is this agony on earth, I, God, share it too, according to the same rules. A God they can see, Satanas, let them see me now. Let them reach hither to touch, taste, feel, see, know. Then let them choose to kneel, and never let them be battered to unwilling knees. Let their hearts kneel, Satanas, that I make their grief make sense. Thou didst question my faith, Satanas. Here is my faith, that this cross will do it, will be enough, that they, free, responsible choosers, will choose me here. My faith is in them, Satanas. They will choose me by a free and uncoerced act of their independent wills. They will choose because they are more like God than like thee. They are mine, Satan. Thou shalt not have them, now or ever. Thou dost call me again, Satan. Thou dost call me to come down. Thou dost call me to bring the hosts of heaven. I come not down, for my faith is not in them alone, nor in this cross. Thou didst question my faith. It is there, Satan. There in the Father, he will back me up. This will be enough. God will do it. It is finished. It is enough.